This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. On September 28th of 1863, Sarah Josepha Hale of Newport, New Hampshire, wrote a letter to President Lincoln. The author of Mary Had a Little Lamb and one of America's first female novelists wrote, "The subject is to have the day of our annual Thanksgiving made a national holiday." Lincoln, a great observer of the wisdom of others, quickly agreed. And in 1863, Thanksgiving became our third national holiday, alongside Washington's birthday and Independence Day. NHPR's Sean Hurley set out to discover what Thanksgiving was really like during Sarah Josepha Hale's time. So he went to the 19th century recreation at the Remick Country Doctor Museum.
There were 12 of us gathered around the hearth as Erica Boynton, program director at the Remick Museum, steered us into the 19th century.
You're going to pretend that you were on a farm in the 1800s and go by some old recipes. You're not going to be using modern cooking utensils. We'll be preparing the meal on the hearth. Preparation is optional, by the way. But if you would like to eat, it would be a good idea to help your neighbors.
As the gingerbread would bake slowly in a Dutch oven on a bed and under a lid of coals, Ed and Lynn Carney of Tamworth went immediately to work.
What do we have? Flour,
sugar,
baking powder, ginger, molasses.
Molasses
is the key.
At a separate table, Nancy Puglisi from Holderness bashed away with a mortar and pestle.
Well, it's really interesting because this is allspice, and when you go to mince it up, it's quite easy. But when you have these little peppercorns, you really have to put some energy into it.
So allspice, easy.
Allspice was easy.
Hard.
Yes, and of course nutmeg was easy.
Finished with the easy allspice, Nancy starts grinding the coffee in an old crank mill.
Not the way we do it at home with one of those automatic grinders.
Nancy's friend, Sandy Ray, says something striking.
Modern technology has made everything much easier, hasn't it?
That's often the way we say it, not quite rhetorically enough. Our time has been saved by 100 glassy gizmos, but it feels like we've lost the keys to our wallets. Protective of all things sweet, I swoop into action when I see Ed and Lynn Carney plunging the dessert.
Is this still gingerbread?
No,
this
we finished
the cream.
This is the whipped cream now.
Plunging cream into a charming topping is one thing, but Norman Ayotte is busy stomping it into its golden maximum.
So what do you got over here?
Probably the most important part of the meal, the butter. It was just a cream. There's a wheel on the bottom. You see it?
Yeah.
And you just keep stomping it. But this is the most important part. These other things just don't matter at all. Turkey doesn't matter. Gotta have butter.
Norman is the wisest man here. I see that now. If there's no butter, I'm not having a roll. If I don't have a roll, I don't want the turkey. When Norman was a boy in Berlin, he'd hunt for deer with his brothers and father all through the week.
And we'd put Thanksgiving off till the weekend, the Sunday. We didn't have it on Thursday because that was hunting time. No matter what you do, you're developing traditions, and that's what my father believed in.
Back at the hearthside, Ed swings the cast iron crane to examine the sizzling progress inside two bubbling cauldrons.
It's Brussels sprouts, scallions, and bacon.
And leeks.
Because of his butter wisdom, Norman Ayotte takes on the ceremonial but necessary role of turkey carver. The sharpening of the knives is basically the dropping of our checkered flag. But before we eat, Erica Boynton holds us at the starting line.
A very brief lesson in table manners of the 19th century.
Erica puts it more delicately, but the first lesson is that you can wipe your mouth on anything. Tablecloth, your sleeve, someone else's. I'm already 19th century like that. So it's the second lesson involving the Mad Max table knife panache of the 1830s that I hope stays with me.
The knife is very flat and has a wide spatulate-type blade. This will actually be your eating utensil that you bring to your mouth. Your fork is more of a pusher and a spear and a stabber. It's very primal to eat in the 19th century.
We gather in line and collect our food and seat ourselves at the long wooden table. The meal itself is a swashbuckling clamor of plates and silverware.
Hey, could you press on that cranberry juice,
please? Yep. Taste it again. The sausage.
Through its ritual form and firm menu, Thanksgiving is the holiday that is most like the memory of itself, most like an ongoing photograph that we take year after year. The food before us that we made for each other, the chairs we held for each other, and the table we set for each other. We give our thanks to the whole house of the world, and the way we share it with each other and climb through it and explore it is the only form of gratitude we can ever express. For Word of Mouth, I'm Sean Hurley.
Before we leave you today, some research on the benefits of gratitude. While Thanksgiving may be tough on nutritionists and psychiatrists dealing with the aftermath of personal excesses or drunken family fights, it is a bounty for psychologists studying the consequences of giving thanks. John Tierney wrote in his New York Times findings column that cultivating an attitude of gratitude has been linked to better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life, and kinder behavior toward others, including romantic partners. One researcher suggests starting with Gratitude Light, a study comparing people who kept a journal of five things they were grateful for each day with a control group. Found that after 2 months, people keeping gratitude journals were more optimistic and felt happier. They reported fewer physical problems and spent more time working out. I'm Virginia Prescott. Here at Word of Mouth, your listening time and attention is at the top of our gratitude list. We wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, full of gratitude and all its healthful benefits. We'll be back on Saturday at noon here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Bill Berry,
and Zach Nugent.
Our intern is
James Pouliot.
Digital support from Rebecca Lavoie
and Sarah Plord.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. To subscribe to our podcast and listen to past shows,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook and Tumblr at Word of Mouth Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
And check out a playlist of music from the program on Spotify.
Word of Mouth
is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.